Yeah.
Your new review girl, Casey.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Oh, I knew you would be.
I like her a lot. I think she's just what that show needed. Breath of fresh air, really.
Yeah, she called you the people's champ.
Let's start the show.
Welcome to another edition of The Creep Off, a show about creeps, by creeps, for creeps. We love you, people. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Vinny Paulino, and this is my co-host, Hot Carla.
How are you doing, Vinny Paulino? What's happening?
Oh, man, I got to tell you, it's just been a great week. I'm excited to be here for another Creep Off. I mean, it's not like stand-up comedy's banned in the state that I live in. And my dogs now officially have more television credits than me.
So the only people famous in your family are your dogs?
Not even famous. They just have more television credits than me.
Okay. Like national.
My dogs were on America's Funniest Home Videos last night because of my wife.
Who knew that show was still on television? How do they not know about YouTube? You got to watch TV to see funny viral videos?
I got to be somewhere at a certain time and hit. Oh, it's the worst.
Wow. So that's cool. I got to see this video. You got to post it somewhere.
Oh, my God. It's a hot video. We're just going to change the world with it.
Oh, yeah. I got to see this. Did it get a lot of fake laughter from the crowd?
No. There's no crowd.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the show's like these days.
You know who the host is?
No.
Carlton.
Oh, right. He does that goofy dance, right? And everybody loves it.
It's the funniest videos for everyone.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Fuck that. So that just sent me to a whole new level of depressed. But I'm happy to be here with you, pal, because today we are going to discover who is the creepiest family member of a politician.
Oh, this is a fun one, huh?
Straight from the headlines, people.
Love it. So that's the category. We got a theme again this week.
We do have a theme, and we picked it ourselves going up into the election. We figured, why not have a little fun with it?
Sounds good.
Now, I want to take a second and talk about last week's show.
Last week's show was great. We had Kevin on. He was in the blanket fort.
We're going to get lots of opinions about Kevin being on the show when we get to the voicemail.
Okay, good.
But let's talk about the voting.
Let's talk about the voting.
Now, I had a woman who ripped a child from a acquaintance's womb.
Yep.
And you had a lady who twisted off her kid's penis with pliers and fucking didn't feed him so his ass didn't grow.
A three-year-old, yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't just feed them for 1 year and their ass doesn't grow. I mean, there's a good three-year span it takes without watering that garden.
I would argue they were both very creepy individuals that we highlighted on last week's show. What did Kevin bring? I don't even remember. What was his creep? Something funny.
It was somebody who was banging a Olaf Frozen doll in a Target.
Oh, right. The guy who's coming in Target. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Carl, you did pretty good this week.
Oh, good. I like when I do pretty good.
Kevin and the Cody and Olaf did pretty well as well. They got 20 votes. They got 18% of the vote.
That doesn't sound like it's very good. 20%?
20% of the vote. Well, you had 36% of the vote.
Let me do the math real quick. Uh-oh, I don't like where this is going.
And I had 44.34% of the vote. Please. Yeah, man. That's right. Vinny Winnie, baby. Hashtag Vinny Strong.
Vinny Spinny is the new hashtag. Vinny Spinny. Don't listen to Casey. She might lose her job on WATV this promotion of Vinny Winnie. That nonsense.
She's a fan of the Creep Off, and she's a fan of the People's Champ. Here's to you, Casey. Good job this week. I like the way she reads voicemails, you know, kind of like she's drugged. It's nice. I like it.
She's definitely subdued.
Yes.
She's not
excited. Over the top.
She's not excited to be on a podcast.
She's not just sitting there waiting to say her catchphrase. Hello. Like she's every time like Vic said hello.
Oh, this is what it really is about.
Every time Vic said hello, I just pictured Mitch McConnell face.
This is what
I just want you to know.
He just thought you looked like a turtle.
Hello.
This is what it's really about, is your anger towards Vic, and that's why you're so pro-Casey, and you and Casey have a little thing going on right now. I see what's happening.
I'm just telling you, I know talent. I have an eye for talent, Carl.
All right, so that means that you won, so now you're in the lead 2-1.
2-1,
in
baby.
In this round. I had to spin the wheel a few weeks ago. I do have an update on that that we'll get to.
Yes, I can't. I was going to ask you about that today.
Yep, we're making progress, and I'm going to play a couple of choice tracks from the album that we're putting together.
Ooh, just a sneak peek. We got to wait to get the whole album.
Today. Yep. Yep, we're just going to
Oh, I haven't heard it yet. Tracks. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
I thought you'd be excited about that.
I love the sound of Consequences. Now.
Yes, you do.
A little too much. Are you ready to start?
You're a sadistic fuck. You know that? All right, let's get this thing started. You're up first.
Sadistic fuck. I mean, you're only saying that because I just tormented everyone who tuned in for the live stream.
Yeah. That was brutal, by the way. What was that mashup we were listening to?
It was a little bit of Nick Bate, some Baby Shark, some Sheamus, and... Yeah, so if you tuned in early, I was practicing Schadenfreude. So enjoy, kids. Now let's start off. I guess I got to tell you about my creep. Can hear me okay, Carl?
I hear you loud and clear, buddy.
All right, baby. So here's what happened. My creep is the son of a politician. Let me introduce you to his father, Carlos Alvarez. He was 8 years old when he and his family left Cuba. They came to America. He joined the Miami-Dade Police Department in 1976, worked his way through the ranks, and by 1997, he was the director of the entire police department until he became the mayor of Miami-Dade County in 2004.
Wow, now, it's a real immigrant story, very heartwarming, just what we want to hear.
Yes, it's great to hear stories about people who came to this country and succeeded.
The American dream.
Yeah, half the country loves those stories.
You're right.
In 1994, though, Carlos was a very high-ranking officer when his 18-year-old son, Carlos Jr., who, by the way, on a side note, is apparently not so much of a junior. The kid is 6'4", 300 pounds.
Okay. I mean,
at 18.
That has nothing to do with your name, but all right. I gotcha.
Well, I'm just saying, you know what they call him junior. If you call him junior, it's kind of like calling him tiny.
Yeah, all right.
It's kind of ironic.
Got it.
So he went on a little bit of a spree. What kind of spree? A shopping spree? Well, not exactly. A spree of tormenting and assaulting young teenage girls.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say fast food restaurants. Yeah. I thought you were going to say a drive-through spree.
It's not one of those situations where I'm bringing myself in as the creep. Remember?
Okay. So
I'm talking about this guy,
yet.
Carlos Jr. Now, on March 23rd, 94, Alvarez Jr. asked a girl for directions. He got her close, said, "Hey, can I get some directions?" He then said, "I have a gun." He threatened to kill her and demanded
those directions. He demanded those directions.
He's like, "You will tell me where the Best Buy is."
Yeah. And by the way, I don't want any tolls on the way.
I'm sorry. It was 1994. Where's the Blockbuster?
Right.
He had a weird demand, Carl. Not really a weird demand. He was like, "Let me see them tits."
Oh, okay. So
I was trying to give you a new soundbite there.
I appreciate that.
Let me see them dick.
Oh, that's the wrong one. He says, "Let me see them tits." And the girl ran away from him. Yeah. Like he didn't show her the gun.
Line.
He goes, "I have a gun. Show me your tits."
Not a good pickup line.
Nope.
It's only going to work about 30 to 35% of the time based on my studies.
Yes. Carl will publish his paper on this soon. And I got to tell you, folks.
Very important data is going to be coming out.
The people at MIT are very excited to get this statistical analysis. Now, on April 25th of the same year, Alvarez Jr. asked another girl for directions. This kid's always lost.
Yeah, right.
He told a girl once again he had a gun, ordered the girl into his car, and then exposed himself. She jumped out of the car and ran off. So far, he's escalated a little bit. "Let me see them tits." Now he's like, "Now I'm going to show you my dick."
You're right.
And, you know, both times the girls have gotten away. Now, May 13th. Same year, Alvarez Jr. accosted a 20-year-old woman while she was roller skating. He threatened to run the woman over unless she climbed into his car. Now, apparently they were in this weird area where she was like in a place where she couldn't get around him, and he could have really done some damage to this girl.
Was he driving on the rink? Did he drive his car up onto the rink? Is this
the craziest demolition derby I've ever seen?
Just start chasing people around in a circle?
It's demolition / roller derby is what's going on here.
Oh, that would be fun to watch.
Oh, coming up this fall on TNT. Now, once she got into the car, he brandished a knife and made her perform oral sex on him.
Yeah.
So this is his first, like, rape. It's a mouth rape, but it's a rape nonetheless. After that, he threw her out of the car. She went and reported. Now, all of these women reported him to the police, by the way.
Okay.
And keep in mind, his father is a very, very, very high-ranking officer of the police department. He is just like 2 years away from becoming the chief of police.
So he's got some connections, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So on May 26, Alvarez Jr. again tried to kidnap a girl at knife point while she sat on a bus bench. This girl got away. May 26, same day, 1 hour and 15 minutes later, Alvarez Jr. lured two teenage girls into his car at a shopping center. He pulled a knife out and then sexually assaulted both of these girls. He raped both of them. They were 14 and 16 years old.
Okay. So that's wrong for a number of reasons, I guess you could say.
Correct. Now,
why are there never any charges being processed? Are you saying that his dad's getting him out of all these things?
We're going to get there. All right. There's consequences paid, but we're going to get there. So the police officers ended up confronting him because these two girls went and immediately called the police. Like, this dude, 6'4", 300 pounds, just raped us both at knife point.
Easy to pick out of the lineup, I would imagine.
Yeah, and he did this at a fucking shopping center.
Well, that's where girls are.
Yeah, and guess what?
He can't do it in when dark the, alley. When the no cop, girls there.
When the cops came looking for him, guess where he was?
A dark alley.
Wrong. Still at the fucking shopping center.
What an idiot.
Yeah, this exactly. So the cops try to confront him. He runs away and he jumps into, like, you know when you go down south and they have like those drainage ditches, like filled with water and stuff around shopping centers?
Sure.
He went and dove into one of those for some reason. Too bad a fucking gator didn't get his ass.
Yeah.
But he dove into one of those. They had to like coax him out. I guess one of the cops that was there knew him and coached him in football or peewee football or something like that and got him to come out. He was arrested this time because he was still fucking there and just raped two teenage girls. So he's been doing this crazy stuff. People are reporting him, and he's been walking away scot-free.
And this is over a time span of how long?
We're talking March 23rd through May 26th.
Okay.
2 months.
Gotcha.
Now, the next year, police are still investigating all of this. There's going to trial. It's going to be a whole thing. And something very interesting happened. A photograph that was signed by one of the women who were assaulted by him, who identified him, who said, "I will never forget this guy's face." She signed this paper. This is him. This picture was a very key piece of evidence, and I'm going to tell you why in a second, but it disappeared right out of the evidence locker.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It just completely disappeared. They have the spokespeople for the police department going, "We don't know where it went. This obviously isn't on purpose. We obviously want justice." The reason why that became serious was because none of these women came to testify. None of these women would testify against him for some reason. There's six victims here. Mm-hmm. Not one of them would go to court and testify about this guy for some reason. And the only piece of evidence that they had to identify this guy was a piece of paper photograph signed by one of the witnesses saying this was him.
People don't like to testify against the mob either. Is that what you're getting at here? Maybe they were given some reasons not to testify against this guy?
Well, even in spite of all of this, because there was other evidence, he pled guilty and he was sentenced to 18 years in prison.
Oh, no shit. He pled guilty?
He pled guilty.
That's dumb, right? Why would you do that?
Well, he was out.
That's stupid.
He was out 13 years later. He got out of jail. His father was the mayor.
Okay.
And now this kid's a registered sex offender. When he was released, Carl, no one in the newspapers covered it.
Oh, wow.
It was kept completely quiet. You would not believe how hard it was to find information.
It's good to be king. Yeah, Vinny and I were talking about this before, just this morning. This category is tough because not a lot of people are writing news bits about powerful politicians'
families.
Relatives.
Yeah. I mean, the power is keeping shit like that quiet,
yes,
isn't it? I mean,
for sure.
Here's an interesting fact. He gets out of prison 13 and a half years later. He's a registered sex offender. He moves into a luxury apartment in downtown Miami.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Finally
get
to live the good
life.
Weird
thing. His dad's a mayor, and for some reason, he's allowed to live in this luxury apartment that's less than a mile from a school.
Okay.
Like, half of a mile from a school.
Schools are everywhere, though.
But there's laws about the guy's a fucking registered sex offender, and he's allowed to live down the street from a fucking school.
Yeah.
Because his dad's a goddamn mayor.
With Uber and Lyft, are you ever that far from a school?
Good point.
I mean, whatever. Great point. What's the difference?
You're right.
The heart wants
what
the heart
wants. That's where the trail goes cold on this guy. But he went on a fucking rape fucking spree, and his dad covered his ass. He did go to jail. I understand. We don't know what he's up to now. I do know what his dad is up to. Would you like to know what happened to Carlos Sr.?
Yeah, what happened to Carlos?
Well, Carlos Sr. was removed from office. He was recalled. You know what recalling a mayor is? Everybody in the town votes, we want your ass out.
Yeah.
And they voted him out. So he's removed. And after the recall in 2013, he emerged as a bodybuilder, an over 60 bodybuilder who goes out and fucking competes.
Oh,
the
cool.
Dude's fucking jacked as shit. But in April 2016, he was arrested on domestic battery charge after a fight with his girlfriend. And according to a police report, his girlfriend's teenage daughter told police that Alvarez had been violent towards her since 2013.
Yeah, but we could strike all of this from the record because that's not who this is about. This is about his son.
Well, I'm
and
just
your story
saying,
kind of had an anticlimactic ending to it. And we have no idea what he's up to now. He probably learned his lesson and he's a great guy.
Could be.
Could be. Could be the end
but
of
I'm telling
story.
You, I had to pick somebody and this was fucking hard.
Fair enough.
There you go. Creepiest politicians get raping people at knife points, still hanging out at the mall. That fucking brazen.
All right, guys. If you like meandering stories that go nowhere, vote for Vinny.
Please
do. This week at thecreepoff.com. I'm going to try to keep this one brief.
I actually feel like a failure after just doing that story.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. So I have a politician named Mark Costello. He's Oklahoma's labor commissioner. And voted in 2010.
I'm sure a fine public servant.
He has a son named Christian Costello. And Christian was convicted of a DUI, as all these kids are. You know, that's just the beginning of it. A year later, he was arrested after being accused of exposing himself to people at St. Eugene's School in the Village. A woman told police 26-year-old Christian was
walking...
Oh, he
was 26?
Yeah.
Oh.
Was walking around the school Friday afternoon around 4 p.m. The woman said she saw him with his pants down in front of a school window. He then reportedly turned to face her with his genitals exposed. He really Jeffrey Tubin'd her, if you get my drift.
Oh. Officers, everyone on that Zoom call got your drift.
Yep.
Got his drift.
Officers with the Village Police Department said when they found Costello, he was chewing on bird feathers, dandelions, and other weeds.
So you have a very mentally ill individual
He's
here.
He's pretty mentally ill.
Okay.
So after the arrest, he was pretty upset about it. And he destroyed his apartment, cut his wrists, and then wandered into traffic, where he was picked up by police and finally brought to a mental health treatment center where he could get help for this. In this center, he made allegations that his family was involved in Satanism.
Uh-huh. What is that? Why do all crazy people go to Satanism?
Well, his parents were ultra-religious. They're Republicans.
That's it.
Yeah. So I think sometimes it's like whatever the opposite of mom and dad is the thing.
Okay.
But he screamed at his parents to leave him alone when they visited him at the Crisis Intervention Center. He said his family wants him to join the cult, but he won't. He then said, I'm the only one in the family who won't join the cult. He also said that his parents hacked into his computer and are spying on him. Christian Costello admitted while in this center to using illegal drugs, including methamphetamine and marijuana. He claimed to have smoked K2 synthetic marijuana daily since he was 23.
So a good 3 years of
that K2 stuff.
Which isn't it just like ground up potpourri that they spray with chemicals?
It's not good. It's not consistent.
No, it's not
and
good
it
stuff.
Fucks with people pretty bad.
Yeah.
From what I know. So fast forward.
What does your research show on K2, Carl?
Fast forward.
Are women more susceptible to showing you their breasts if they're using K2, Carl?
I don't have all the data back. I don't want to speculate at this time until we've analyzed all of the data.
All right.
So he's locked up in this mental institution. They finally find the right meds for him, and he gets out to go live his normal life. And he decides he's going to...
Do the doctors let him free like a bird? They just go, you're free. Go live the life you choose.
I wasn't there. I'd really only be speculating if I made a guess on that one. So he tries to patch things up with his dad because, obviously, they don't have a great relationship here. And they decide...
The kid doesn't want to join the cult.
Right. So now that the kid's doing better, the parents figure we can bring our relationship back together. They're going to meet up at this fast food place that serves ice cream. And I'll let the news media tell you what happened after that.
OKC police say Costello and his son met here at this Brahms on May in Northwest 112th. They say it started inside when they arrived to settle an argument when it escalated. Costello was stabbed several times. This then spilled into the outer area into the parking lot. Witnesses jumped in and held the suspect down until police arrived. Costello was rushed to the hospital where he was pronounced dead.
So the son ends up murdering his father with a kitchen knife. Where they started fighting inside the restaurant. It spilled out into the street.
By the Sunday bar?
Yes. Oh, by the Sunday bar. His mom was trying to stop him. His mom is witnessing her husband being murdered by her son.
Do you think the husband literally said, in a way, this is half your fault?
Yes. Now, he was brought to
trial.
If you're
getting murdered by your kid and your wife is just standing there watching, that's a terrible way to go.
That would be a terrible way to go, I would imagine.
Yeah, not a good last thoughts.
He was stabbed several times in the head and neck and died in the hospital. And so, of course, Christian was brought in to court, and this is what he had to say about it.
During the plea hearing, Christian Costello called his father's death destiny and said, I worship destiny.
So this guy, it was determined, had a couple screws loose, and he will forever be institutionalized going forward. I would say that's a pretty crappy relative of a politician, Christian Costello.
I think you said it best. Pretty crappy, not creepy.
What are you talking about? Not creepy. Man, he exposed himself at a school.
He's mentally ill.
Yes.
My guy was just a fucking creepo. Rapist, fucking thinks he could do whatever he fucking wants, going around town just pussy grabbing.
Hashtag Vinny Spinny, everybody. Vinny Spinny.
Be elite, people. Vote Vinny. Vinny Strong.
We get any voicemails?
Unfortunately.
How do people feel about Kevin joining the show?
Well, here's some thoughts from our good friend Imbecile.
Oh, okay.
Imbecile here. I called to comment on the fact that the WATP family is shoving Kevin down our throats the way the Democratic Party shoved Kamala Harris down the public's throat. Please, WATP wasn't a success until that Cobra Commander-loving Kevin exited for all time. Jesus. I say,
brutal.
Leave him alone. No more Kevin. Oregon! Oregon! Oregon!
Call me back.
Okay.
Imbecile's got some serious...
He doesn't like Kevin.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Kevin.
I wonder what that's all about.
Well, you know, Kevin's general demeanor. I think it says it's more of an indication on Kevin than it is Imbecile.
Yeah, Kevin is beloved, though.
Yeah.
He's beloved by everybody. I don't understand this.
Not that ex-wife. All right. Next one coming up.
Jesus. Getting personal.
Oh, I love him. Here we go. Here's another thought. Some more thoughts on Kevin.
Ah! You brought Kevin back? Holy shit, dude. Can you bring him back again for another episode, please? Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Kevin Fan. Very good.
There it is. There it is. Dun, dun, dun. Here's one from our pal, Prep Boy Rick.
Hey, guys. The only thing that's worse than listening to my shitty voicemails is somebody talking about their fantasy team.
Yeah, no shit.
Jesus Christ.
That's the point.
Shut the fuck up, Carl.
I know. It's a joke.
Vinny Winnie, people's champ. Prep Boy Rick out.
Nobody wants to hear about anybody's fantasy team.
I agree.
Especially don't want to hear about my 3-game losing streak.
I'm going to come in there. I'm on the edge today. I'm going to come in there. Right. We have one from our friend Carl's Left Nut.
Oh, good.
Here we go.
Hello. It's Carl's Left Nut here. Just want to say I would have voted for Carl this week, but the fact that he didn't even go with the category last week and found the cheap way to win this week, I now will vote for Vinny every week, no matter what, till Carl has to spin the wheel of consequences.
No!
I would love it if he gets the song Consequences and Vinny plays Vinny Paulino song to him for 2 hours. Only one can dream. Call me back.
Thank you, Carl's Left Nut.
Can I point something out here?
No.
The people who are voting are doing it wrong. This is not a thing where you're vindictive and you just decided you're going to vote for one person every week. You're supposed to be listening to the arguments and deciding who the bigger creep is each week.
If you think that we have been voting correctly in anything we do in America in general, we all fucking suck at voting.
It goes back to what I've been saying all along. Communism works. We cannot have voting. It doesn't work.
Everybody's just messing. Everybody's fucking it all up.
Oh,
so,
man.
That's our voicemails this week. Carl, are you ready for a scum parade?
Before we do that, you want to talk about my Wheel of Consequence?
More than anything.
All right.
Lay it on me, baby.
So what we're doing is I've outlined 11 songs from Nick Bate that we'll be covering on this cover album. I have three that I want to showcase for you today, just to give you a little tease.
This actually makes me feel really good right now, and I needed it. Thank
you,
Carl.
Oh, good. Okay. So this is a song that maybe people aren't as familiar with. I don't play it that often on the board, but let me just play the source material first. Here's Nick Bate on a song he wrote called Blowing Up the U.S. It's a great ditty.
Blowing up the U.S. Blowing up the U.S. Cause the U.S. really sucks.
Great song.
I gotta be honest with you. Like, that sounds like something Miley Cyrus would record.
Yeah. No, it's
yeah,
it's
she could totally cover that.
It's phenomenal.
Now, I'm fascinated to hear what you did with it.
So I decided to go. I took this up to the Isotopes practice room and gave it kind of a punk rock feel. And this is what we came up with.
Oh, you had to get your guitar solo in there, you asshole.
It's Croge! It's the Croge lead.
Blowing up the U.S. In its ass.
That was take number two. We didn't try that song out too many times.
I enjoyed that, actually. I was okay. Like, you know, that is a good punk song.
All right. So
that's as good as you're going to get for punk, baby.
Blowing up the U.S. Now, here's another song people might not be as familiar with. It's called Everyone's Pooping.
Everybody's pooping except for you. Every day is like feces without you.
So I do have a team on this. Producer Chris put together his interpretation of that ditty. Here is Everybody's Pooping from our... covers album, our tribute album.
Everybody's pooping except for you.
A little trippy.
Is that like a My Bloody Valentine kind
something
of a deal?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
I'm digging it. One more for you. Here's one that everybody knows.
I'm gonna do my wife and also some children in their butts. But the latter is only if my wife says I can, which she probably won't.
Probably
so
not.
I guess I'll just do my wife.
And that's a toe tapper.
What I like about that song is he's not married.
No.
Now, that's my favorite part. This is just some weird world in that kid's head.
Yeah.
Genre for that, I'm trying to think what direction you could have gone. Was it like me? I feel like that could use some steel drum,
okay.
Little reggae.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. Well, I outsourced this one. I gave it to Croge to put together.
You can't outsource your consequence.
Of course I can. This is how this works. Croge decided to put his own interpretation of that song, and I think he did a masterful job. Let's check it out.
I'm gonna do my wife and also some children in their butts. The latter is only if my wife says I can, and I don't think she will. So I guess I'll just have to do my wife.
Really well done. Very well done from Crunch.
I'm very upset. That's not you singing that. That's not you doing it. What did you perform on that?
Nope. I told you I'm outsourcing some of this stuff. I didn't perform my producer Chris's stuff either. I got a team of people, Vinny.
You're a corner cutting motherfucker.
Oh, stop it. We got more songs coming. Don't you worry. I'm gonna have a lot more influence.
Can I hear that cruise one again?
The rest of the songs coming up.
I want to hear that again. God damn, I love it.
I'm gonna do my wife and also some children in there, but
I would argue this might actually be better than the original. Not the other ones, but this one might be better than Nick Bate original song.
And that's a tall order.
The latter is only if my wife says I can, and I don't think she will. So I guess I'll just have to do my wife.
Beautiful, Croge.
Beautiful. Well done, Croge. I hope you didn't spend the 20 hours on that. I hope that was a quick one for you.
I love how you're not even going to spend 12 hours putting this whole thing together.
Oh, stop it, Vinny. I bring these here to show you the progress we're making and get you excited about it.
I'm excited about it. I can't wait to hear the rest of it. Croge, right. MVP so far, buddy.
So far,
producer,
yep.
Producer Chris, meh.
All right. Vinny, again, making a lot of friends.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to be best buddies with producer Chris.
All right. Do you want
to? He's not even allowed to look me in the eyes. That's like the rules.
That is the rule. Correct.
All right. Ready for the scum parade?
Let's go. Let's go on the scum parade.
I'm ready for this one. This week's Scum Parade starts in the home state of our Vice President, Michael Pence. We're going to Muncie, Indiana, Carl.
All right.
Officers were called to a home after Rivera Manship reported that a child had fallen down the stairs. The boy had suffered 2 subdermal brain bleeds. Pediatricians and child abuse experts said the injuries did not appear to come from an, quote, unprovoked fall down the stairs. So I guess the experts are saying the kid was asking for it.
A little victim blaming right there.
I don't think that's right. Experts said the injuries looked suspicious. The boy was airlifted to Riley Hospital for Children in Indianapolis, where he was put in a medically induced coma. Rivera Manship lived with the child's mother and was watching him. He said he became, quote, overwhelmed and pushed the 3-year-old down the stairs because they were arguing about, quote, what the child would eat.
3-year-olds could be a huge pain in the ass. Haven't we all wanted to push a 3-year-old down the stairs? We've all wanted to. I kind of get where this guy's coming from.
So he said the boy appeared to be unconscious after he hit the floor. Yeah. And according to court records, Rivera Manship called the boy's mother several times starting at 7:22 p.m. before eventually calling 911 at 7:35 p.m. And that's when he reported that the child was hurt. He had earlier claimed that he called 911 right away within 5 minutes of finding the child, court documents said. Not accurate. Doctor said that those 13 minutes could have definitely made a difference in the child's current and long-term state, adding that every minute is helpful in cases like that with brain injuries. Included with the brain bleed and bruises on the child's face, legs, buttocks, and scrotum, Rivera Manship allegedly confessed to police about other instances in the past 2 months where he had, quote, shaken the boy to get the child to listen, pinned the child to the ground while, quote, roughhousing, slapped the child multiple times around his stomach and thighs, and, quote, hit the child in the scrotum to show the child that it hurt after the child hit him in that area.
This guy is one of those bag slappers I've been warning people about for years.
He's
now
a legit bag slapper.
He's a bag slapper. Hey, you know how much that hurts? I'll show you. Whap.
Dude, the guy's beating and shaking the kid. Yeah. No wonder the kid kicked him in the fucking balls to begin with.
I had to set the kid on fire just to teach him that fire is hot. How else would you teach a kid? And you tell me how to teach a kid that knives are sharp. Am I doing it wrong? You tell me.
Yeah. I don't tell you how to raise your kid. I don't tell you how to raise your girlfriend's child.
Did you see the number of charges? He would be better off just murdering the kid.
2 counts of battery, 3 counts of neglect, 2 counts of aggravated battery, and 1 count of obstruction of justice.
Should have just killed the kid.
Yeah, yeah. Then, you know, kind of wouldn't have talked.
That's true. Although I don't think the kid has talked since then.
That's true, because this child is going to have a long fight ahead of him. So yes. Good luck to the kid. Fuck you, Mr. Rivera Manship. Now, Carl, we're going to head back down to Orange County, Florida. A now former Orange County deputy is accused of giving a gun to a young girl and telling her to shoot anyone who entered his apartment.
Yeah.
He also allegedly performed an exorcism on a second child at the same time. So what's happening here is Christopher Doty was arrested when deputies were called to an apartment on Thursday. At the apartment, they said they found Doty with a gun, found the young girl laying on the floor with like a rifle. Like she's down, like she's ready to take out Charlie in the fucking trees.
Yes.
Just sitting there waiting to shoot anybody who came in. And the second kid, who he was trying to cast the devil out of him, was armed with a stun gun. So we're thinking that Christopher Doherty had a complete meltdown, breakdown. He told the girl that there were demons in the house and they needed to burn the things that were possessed. The girl told investigators that they burned several items in the parking lot and performed an exorcism on her brother.
I hope it worked.
Yeah. So Doherty had a pattern of unsatisfactory performance as a law enforcement officer, and he was dismissed a while back, and they think that he just went down a very slippery slope. They're not even telling us who these two kids were.
Yeah, I was
were they neighbor
that.
Kids? Are they his kids?
Their brother
they were just
and sister.
A couple of kids.
Their brother and sister, but it never mentions why they're in this guy's apartment, what it has to do with them.
Well, he was trying to help them get the devil out.
Well, so he armed the daughter.
Yep.
And I don't even know how old this girl is.
Yep.
But he said to shoot anyone who comes into the apartment because there's demons in the apartment, which I understand. I get that. Give a girl a rifle if there are demons in your apartment. But
yeah, that makes all the sense.
That makes sense. But the Kevlar helmet and bulletproof vest.
That's right. She was wearing.
Do demons have guns? I've never seen demons shooting back at you. I don't think that's going to help you in any scenario with demons.
That helmet is rated for Beelzebub. That helmet.
Yeah, right.
You can't fucking get past it. Like
the devil is never armed. I've never seen ones where the devil shows up with a machine gun.
All he's got is that stupid pitchfork thing.
Yes. Using.
Well, the Kevlar would help there.
The Kevlar might help with
the
pitchfork.
He's not
going to
get you with that pitchfork. Or his spike tail. Or his little fucking spiky tail. He has horns, Carl.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about this, the helmet is probably helpful in case of a
Vinny,
headbutt.
I think drugs might be involved in this one. Call me crazy.
You're telling me that a cop who got fired turned to drugs and alcoholism and apparently...
Well,
exorcisms.
He probably turned to that before he got fired because they said he was a shitty cop.
Yeah. Well, being a shitty cop doesn't excuse any of this, man. This is nuts.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Okay. All he's facing for this is a charge of child abuse.
Yeah, you would think there'd be something else there.
Yeah. You'd think there'd be a couple of things here.
Right.
Now we're going to head down to Louisiana.
Maybe his dad's a powerful politician. Maybe
Could
that's
be.
What's going on.
Could be. I wonder what apartment this guy's going to get. A 34-year-old Louisiana man was arrested after dropping off an 11-year-old girl pregnant with his child at an emergency room on Sunday.
How old is the guy again?
He's 34. The girl is 11.
Yeah. And I actually saw this guy on television.
Really?
Just the other day. Yeah, I'll play a clip from that.
You are the father.
There are a lot of different guys it could have been with this pregnant 11-year-old. Of course it was him!
So, according to the police, the sheriff's department, deputies came to the hospital after a report of a child molestation, and the girl was complaining of abdominal pains, and medical personnel determined she was pregnant. Deputies said Wendell Sanchez dropped the girl off and was waiting in his vehicle outside the hospital. He's like, you just go take care of that baby. I'll wait right
Dude,
here.
Bitches are always the same. They're always complaining. They want you to take them places.
Medical
bitches,
help,
man.
Please. Sanchez fled the scene when deputies arrived. According to the sheriff's officers, deputies said Sanchez then abandoned his vehicle and fled on foot into an apartment complex. So he drove away from the cops, bailed on the car, went and hid on an apartment complex. They found him hiding in somebody's patio. The sheriff's office said that he had drugs and drug paraphernalia on him when he was detained. He was arrested and charged with the rape of a victim under the age of 13, resisting police, drug possession, trespassing, criminal damage, and other charges. He's being held on $540,000 bail.
So I'm guessing he didn't know that his girlfriend was pregnant when he dropped her off, right?
Yeah. That's a great way to get the news, isn't it?
Is that what you're guessing on that one?
It has to be.
A little bit of advice when you're fucking an 11-year-old girl, come on the tits. I can't stress this enough, people.
What tits?
That might be the problem.
This dude just let her go into the hospital, and he sat there and probably smoked fucking crack or weed in the fucking car.
Well, what do you do when you knock up your 11-year-old girlfriend, Vinny? How do you deal with that type of stress?
The same way the first guy did. Down the stairs.
Down the stairs with you.
Down the stairs.
You're right. If we could have combined these two stories, you would have had a happy ending.
We would have had the perfect crime.
Are people in the chat freaking out right now? People don't like it when we talk about kids and kid shit. This is only four creeps, people. I think we made that clear.
Yes, correct. If you have, you know, morals and shit,
yep,
get lost. Fuck off. This last story, Carl, holy goddamn shit with
holy
this.
Holy goddamn shit with this, Benny.
Holy fucking shit balls. Wow. Oklahoma.
This story's insane. Yeah, go
where
on.
The wind goes another way. October 14th. McAllister Regional Hospital personnel called the LaFleur County Sheriff's Office to report they had a 28-year-old man who said he had received a surgery at a home in Wister, Oklahoma on October 12th. So this is 2 days after the surgery. The patient told hospital personnel that the plan was to remove his testicles by a man named Bob Allen and someone named Thomas. According to the court documents, the victim informed medical personnel that Bob and Thomas tried to get him to participate in cannibalism. The victim told the LaFleur County Sheriff's deputies about 3 weeks ago he was searching the internet about castrations. And they don't sell those on Amazon, Carl, so you have to go looking around. If you want to be castrated,
yeah,
you're not going to find that on Wish.
That's not an easy Google search.
It's not.
It's not a Google search away.
He made contact with Allen through a website that he found. And Allen said he had 15 years of experience and has videos of the procedures. According to court affidavit, on September 28th, the victim who lives in Virginia booked a flight after Allen told him the surgery wouldn't cost him anything.
Yeah, I want to point something out here. There are certain things in life you don't want to be free. For example,
your castration.
Surgery would be a good example. You don't want that to be free. Or like tacos. Like you want to spend a couple bucks on a taco. You don't want like a really cheap taco. I thought maybe you'd be able to relate to that, Vinny.
Sure, sure.
You know, there's just, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, like,
that's my point.
Listen, if somebody, you know, steals a base in the third inning, you shouldn't get a free castration.
Right.
You get a free taco.
You get a free taco.
You don't get a castration.
And it's not a good taco.
No, not at all. So he's going to get a free surgery. He booked a flight. If I have a feeling that if the surgery was going to cost him anything, this guy probably would have drove. Now, the procedure.
So I'm saving all this money. I'd be crazy not to fly.
Right. The procedure took 2 hours to complete. This blew my mind. The victim was awake during the surgery. Well, his scrotum and testicles were removed with surgical equipment by Allen and his partner, Thomas Gates.
I hate to blame the victim here, but this guy has no balls.
I see what you did.
See what I did there?
I see what you did.
Just let that sit there.
That was pretty good. Okay. The victim also said Allen told him that he worked on someone that he described as crazy and that he had left the mail opened up to die overnight.
Now, I think he's right about this. I think that people who go to him to get their balls removed are crazy.
Correct.
That sounds legitimate to me.
Allen then added he was going to consume the parts.
Yes.
So the scrotum and testicles were removed. Mr. Allen, the guy who chopped them off, was like, I'm going to eat these just so you know. I'm into that. Now,
you don't have to announce that. You could just say, yeah, we got rid of it. It's fine. We took care of it. You don't have to talk about how you fried it
up. And not for nothing. I think most reasonable people would probably assume, like, you're just inviting people over to chop off their dick and balls. You're doing something with them, dude. It's my opinion.
Okay. I would assume nothing on that one, but okay.
Really? You think the guy's throwing them in the garbage?
I don't think someone's eating balls. That's not the first place my mind goes.
I don't know.
I bet this guy's eating those balls.
You've been doing this show as long as I have. How is it not the first place your mind goes?
Yeah, I guess. Good point.
So on Tuesday morning, October 13th, the day after, he woke up with a lot of bleeding and he kept passing out. He called for Allen because he's still at this guy's house just fucking on a gurney or some shit.
Yeah.
He called Alan, who finally agreed to take him to the McAllister Regional Hospital.
So the wound wasn't healing well, is what you're saying.
Correct.
This guy's not very good at his job.
And Alan was kind of pissed off that he was asking. Alan was like,
oh, bitch, bitch, bitch.
And during the drive to the hospital, Alan told the victim that if he died or lost consciousness, his plan was just to dump him in the woods.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, motherfucker, if you die on the way to the hospital, I'm just going to throw you in the woods.
This guy's an idiot. He should be trying to make friends with the guys who doesn't, you know, press charges.
Well.
And tell the cops what happened.
He did also tell him that if anyone asks, you did this yourself.
Yeah. Don't rat on me. Also, I will murder you.
Yeah. He Alan also mentioned that he had six more clients scheduled for the same procedure.
Why was their balls removed? Who was looking to get their balls removed? I mean, besides like Bruce Jenner and people like that, but this
that
is just
might
castration.
Be part of it. I mean, honestly, this dude, they're not saying his name, and I don't want to like cast any aspersions, but there are people who have like serious like sexual dysfunction that do it for their fucking own sake. Mm-hmm. Like there's people who are fucking pedophiles who are like fucking chop it off.
Yeah, all right.
You know,
I can see
like
that. That's a good reason.
The victim is still hospitalized at McAllister Regional Health Center due to the botched surgery. Bob Lee Allen and Thomas Evans Gates are charged with conspiracy to commit unlicensed surgery, practicing medicine without a license, maiming, that's a good one. They're charged with maiming, unlawful use of a communication facility, assault, battery with a dangerous weapon. So that's the Scum Parade for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Carl, do you feel disgusted?
Yes. Yes, I do.
This is such a bad episode. We fucked this up.
Where's Kevin? Let's get Kevin back.
We fucked this up so good.
Call Kevin up.
I got to tell you, folks, this has been a really great time. I appreciate having y'all here. Love y'all to death. Hope to see you again next week. Remember, it's nice to be important.
But it's more important to be nice.
Gagia. Fuck us.
This is stupid.
What I do hear about it is they are very strongly against pedophilia, and I agree with that.
What did you do?
Are you off your fucking meds or something?